When did you start bringing everything downstairs, just so you don't have to go back upstairs again? Joint Relief Institute. Move better, live better without surgery. Call 708-888-0000.
You have heard of the Broadview Six among a group of protesters at the Broadview Detention Facility on the southwest side of Chicago last year. The folks were protesting there, and six of them were charged with impeding a federal operation. And I'm just going to play for you Broadview drop number one, Pete. This is the sound of the Broadview Six who were impeding an SUV that was going to try and get into the facility. And you remember the crowds were blowing whistles and they had signs and they were chanting. They're literally standing in front of these vehicles trying to keep the officers from getting into the facility itself. A thumping sound. People pounding on the windows and doors and the hood of that vehicle as it's inching its way forward. Now, remember, the federal government had tried to prosecute six of those individuals, but the whole thing has blown up since. And Christopher Parenti is an attorney who has talked about this case before, and he joins us again. Christopher, you're on WGN Radio. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, John. I would like to correct sort of that characterization, if you'd allow me. Again, these individuals, including my client, Mr. Straw, was not impeding anybody. He was exercising his First Amendment rights to protest. And the only reason he went to Broadview was because he had witnessed the murder of Severio Gonzalez by ICE agents just a week or two prior. And so he went out there to show his support for this community. And what he did before that video was taken is he wrote on an index card the due process clause and tied it peacefully to a fence outside of the Broadview facility. And he's wearing his Village of Oak Park trustee jacket and a hat that says do good. If this went to trial, which it didn't because they dismissed the indictment, you would have seen, and I will give you the videos, that this agent drove his vehicle into these people. That is undisputable. And as we get into this misconduct in the grand jury, you don't need to commit misconduct, John, if it is, as you just said, it wasn't the beginning, that these people were impeding the agent. The grand jurors had huge problems with this. They voted against the indictment. You know how easy it is to get an indictment. The fact that 23 citizens in this community told the government no to this should tell you all you need to know about the merits of this case. These people were exercising their First Amendment right to protest, and that is it. The agent drove his vehicle into them instead of waiting for the police to separate the crowd as they did for every other vehicle that went through peacefully that morning. This was another over-aggressive ICE agent deciding that he could take control and try to run over people as opposed to wait for Broadview to separate the crowd.
Well, I won't quibble with you about how aggressive the agents were. We all know how aggressive they were. It was ridiculous. And in fact, I can play another clip for you where you hear the pop, pop, pop of them firing from the window pepper spray at the crowd. So they were definitely aggressive, but it would seem to me this is a tangent you and I don't need to spend much time on. The audio clip I just played is from video that you sent me this morning, and you know that it shows people with their arms extended in front of the vehicle trying to push it back. The option for the officer was to stand there and either continue to get his vehicle pounded or for him to run these people over. They were impeding the progress of that vehicle. That's beside the point.
I disagree. Again, he drove into them, John, and if you watch the videos from before and after, there was no other issue with any other vehicles because Broadview separated. This guy, and we have his text messages, you would have seen him at trial, you don't have him now, but he literally called these people trash. You know, again,
I believe that. I completely believe that. The actions of the agents was reprehensible. So then what was the charge against the Broadview Six? What was the government trying to pin on them?
They charged these people, John, with a federal conspiracy charge to impede and assault this officer, right? So this was never charged in the 150-year history of this U.S. Attorney's Office. This had never been brought before. And they called it what they called a spontaneous conspiracy. Remember, none of these people knew each other.
That's a contradiction of terms. You can't have a spontaneous conspiracy.
Well, of course, and that's why you have to commit the misconduct that this prosecutor did in the grand jury, because even a grand jury who people joke would indict a ham sandwich said, hold on, we're not doing this. Right?
Okay, but then what was the – so then why does the judge throw the case out? Even before it gets to a jury, it was about the conduct of the prosecutors, three of them, under the aegis of the U.S. attorney here. But what was the misconduct of these – prosecutors that got it tossed after the grand jury?
So there's two issues, right? There's the initial misconduct, which was appalling, in which the federal judge, April Perry, said she had never seen anything like it in her life, and she's reviewed thousands of grand jury transcripts. So there's that misconduct up front where the prosecutor literally threw grand jurors out of the grand jury room who dissented with the case, who said things that were not supportive of the case, right? So that's an easy way to get an indictment. Oh, you don't like this? Then leave the room, right? You can't do that. Of course you can't do that. There was improper vouching. What that means would be if I went in there and said, hey, grand jury, you guys know me. It's Chris Parenzi. I've been in here a lot. You know, I wouldn't bring you a case that isn't good. So, you know, indict this. That's improper vouching. And then there was contact with grand jurors outside of the grand jury room, which is another complete no-no. And again, you wouldn't need to engage in that case, John, if what you're saying was so clear that they impeded, right? If they impeded, you don't need to commit misconduct. Give the facts to the grand jury, and they will
indict. Well, this Justice Department
has
voted
no.
And I think we all understand this Justice Department has a recent history of bringing forward cases that aren't strong because they're getting so much pressure from on high. So here is an example of them maybe tainting the jury pool or the grand jury to try and get this case to proceed forward, right?
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
Yeah, and John, I'm convinced, and it will come out one day, that this case was directed from Washington, D.C., from people in the Justice Department at high up and possibly the White House. These weren't, you saw the video, right? There's 100 people around that car. They charged the public, the politicians, right? Brian Shaw is a village trustee and a no Democrat. Kat Abu-Ghazaleh was running for Congress at the time and was demonized by people very close to Trump publicly. There's no doubt that this case was put on this U.S. Attorney's office, in my opinion.
And the reason that we know all of this is because while some of the transcripts were redacted, the judge asked to see the full transcript of what was actually said. And when she saw that, she was aghast. She said that your client here is justice and you have failed. So now the whole thing gets tossed out. Well, then what are you all doing about that? What's this latest round?
Well, now we're seeking under what's called the Hyde Amendment. When you have a U.S. Attorney's Office, which thankfully does not happen too often, engage in conduct as despicable as this, which is bad faith, you can actually get your attorney's fees back. Because all of these clients, you know, collectively spent over $1 million trying to defend this, right? I mean, these are people who are fortunate enough to have the community support and the resources to push back against this conduct. And thank God they did, because now our community will see what was going on behind closed doors. But the more troubling part to me, John, I think this is what you'll see in this next phase as we go after attorney's fees and demonstrate bad faith, is the cover-up, right? What the prosecutor did in the grand jury is terrible, and that was in secret, and that's been exposed. For 7 months, we were kicking and screaming, demanding that they give us these transcripts, and the government said there's nothing to see here. The defense is being histrionic. They are wildly speculating. When the entire time, John, these are federal prosecutors who knew what had happened in that grand jury.
I want to ask you about this, Christopher. So Andrew Boutros is the U.S. attorney, and he's the one that gets the attention. But who are these three prosecutors? Boutros claims that he didn't know about it, and that's why 24 hours after finding this misconduct, he then drops the case. Well, then who are the three individuals that were doing that? Do we know them by name, and are there charges against them of some sort?
We do. It's in the public record. I'm not going to shame these people. They've brought enough shame on themselves. People can look it up. What I'm more concerned about is the conduct that occurred. And, you know, I think there's going to be more issues about who knew what and when they knew it. What I will say that I'm very disappointed about is that an email that was leaked to the press that Andrew Boutros sent out after he dismissed this indictment, finally, he called these prosecutors that I'm not going to name courageous.
Courageous,
which to me, again, going back to that last case that we talked about, Miramar Martinez, that is the same thing as Greg Bovino emailing, texting, or emailing Exum within 3 hours of that shooting and saying, hey, great work, I'm going to promote you. Andrew Bucho should not be calling these men courageous until he has investigated what happened here, because I can tell you right now, they were not courageous.
Is the only recourse then getting the attorney's fees back? There's no discussion about disbarment or dismissal from public office.
Judge Perry has made clear that there's going to be further hearings on this. I anticipate that people will lose their law license. They will be suspended. This is terrible behavior from any attorney, but for federal prosecutors to engage in this type of behavior is unheard of.
Do you have any sympathy for those three prosecutors in that they were between a rock and a hard place?
Zero. Your job is to do the right thing. And Judge Perry said this perfectly. She's like, look, I tell my kids, it's not that you made a mistake. It's when you make a mistake, you own it, you don't bury it. They buried the truth here. That's their job, is not to win cases. That's what makes federal prosecutors so special and so unique in our society.
Okay.
They don't have to
But then
win
what about
case.
This?
They have to do the right thing.
And Boutros said yet that they would still go ahead with the case if they could, because they still feel, this is the tangent you and I started with, that what those people did was wrong. What the Broadview Six did was wrong in the way they were treating that vehicle or the agents inside. He still thinks he has a case. And the judge said about that, you've sort of diluted your mea culpa here, because you still aren't owning the mistake that you all made. He thinks those are different issues. But what's your reaction to all of that?
My reaction is you don't need to engage in the kind of misconduct that they engaged in. If you can't get a case by the grand jury, then you don't have a case, right? I mean, you're throwing grand jurors out of the room to get this indicted, and that's just probable cause, right? That's more likely than not. At a trial, it's got to be beyond a reasonable doubt. How can you claim that you have a case when you can't get it by the grand jury without committing extreme misconduct? It doesn't make any sense. And John, I know you didn't see the other videos, but we have videos that clearly show this agent. First of all, he has lights and sirens. He never turns them on, right? What police car would drive through a crowd without turning his lights and sirens on? There's times I come down here on the weekend to work, and it's the shamrock shuffle, right? I have to wait until the crowd passes. Yeah. It's annoying. I can't just start slowly driving through the shamrock shuffle,
Christopher, I got less than a minute left here, so just tell me what the next step is. So what would you hope would be the just process for your clients?
I'm concerned about what's going on at that U.S. Attorney's Office. If after seeing this, we're going to call these prosecutors courageous, I have grave concerns about what is going on
over
there.
But you're waiting to get a check for the legal fees, right? I mean, isn't that a tangible thing?
Down the road. Yeah, we're filing that motion today. You'll see it. It's called a Hyde Amendment motion. It'll be filed today by us. But you've already seen this spread to other cases, because this prosecutor specifically on this case obviously indicted other cases. And there's concern about that as well. There's already been motions filed.
Christopher, maybe we'll visit again then. Chris Parenti, a partner with Parenti. Your partner's name, is it Sharonis?
Damon Sharonis.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for giving us some time. Really interesting case, Chris.
Thanks, John.